now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, road station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to The Ruck, and of course, Merry Christmas. Now, 2 weeks ago here in our London Bridge recording studios, we recorded a Ruck podcast so widely admired, so brimming with wit, insight and Bruce Springsteen references, that we decided to gather the exact same panel back here again. So here we are, 2 weeks on. It's Christmas Eve. Steve Jones is here in his Christmas sweater. Steve James, one of the all-time ultimate all-rounders in sports journalism, is here in his Ollie Woodburn tribute outfit, wearing a broad-rimmed black felt hat and a white polo neck.
It looks bloody ridiculous.
And Mark Evans, one of the world's top rugby administrators, here, still polishing his CV to send to the RFU to become the next chief executive. I'm Owen Slott, and all I want for Christmas is for Billy to be fit, for Joe Schmidt to lighten up a bit. I mean, come on, Joe, it's not exactly going badly, is it? And on a slightly selfish note, I like the camellia in the back garden to have a slightly better year. Steve James, here we are, Christmas Eve. When you were a full-time professional athlete, were you always the kind of athlete that trained on Christmas Day, or are you a bit more fun than that?
I think athlete is probably pushing it a bit, as I played county cricket in the days when there weren't too many athletes around.
I must admit,
yes, I have trained on Christmas Day.
Jonesy?
Because Daley Thompson always used to, didn't he? And you had to copy Daley
Thompson. Good for you. Jonesy, you're an athlete. Do you train on Christmas Day?
I do train Christmas Day, every Christmas Day, yeah.
Very good. And Mark, you...
What do you do, Steve?
Pardon?
What do you do?
Training.
What sort of training?
Oh, anything.
Well, you're talking rubbish, aren't you?
No, I'm not talking rubbish. I'll do my exercises, which Caroline, my instructor, gives me.
For Christmas Day?
Yeah, but for off days, because Christmas Day's an off day.
Okay.
But I know I'd be still be doing something.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't believe it. I'm going to come around tomorrow and see.
Come around on Christmas Day.
Okay.
But bring your training.
Pre-turkey yoga.
All right.
Mark.
Mm-hmm.
You just look for another sport to run on Christmas Day.
Training on Christmas Day, it's uncivilised.
Quite right, too. So this episode is, well, it's our Christmas episode, so it's a sort of festive nugget. We've got crackers, we're wearing Christmas hats. We're going to start off, we've got a quiz to come in a minute, which I've been working really hard on. We're going to start off discussing who we would like to come for Christmas dinner. Jonesy, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, well, how many people am I allowed to have?
You can have as many as you want.
Okay. I'm coming now as well, Jonesy.
Okay, well, you can
want to check on his...
We're all coming around for his yoga class.
Yeah, not yoga.
A preprandial jog.
Okay, can Mark go first?
Right, am I allowed to... If I can, I'm going to cheat a bit and invite somebody posthumously. I'd love to have Carwin James for Christmas dinner. Mm. I never met him. And clearly, I watched a lot of his teams when I was young, and I would have loved to have met him and talked about the game. And, you know, Carwin James in this era, I'd love that. Would be just a marvellous sort of conversation. Yeah. And to go with Carwin, probably, this is going back a while, I'm showing me age. Again, never met him. Ray McLaughlin from the 71 Lions, who everyone tells me and people I respect within the game, when I was a sort of young coach, said he was one of the great rugby thinkers, and I think he'd be good value.
Steve, your Christmas dinner guests?
So, as my wife always tells me, all I ever talk about is rugby and cricket, okay? Mm. So it's got to be somebody in the rugby world who also loves talking about cricket.
Well, I think so. Down in Brighton.
Oh, Rob Andrew.
No, I was thinking of Alistair. Alistair Hignall.
Happy Christmas, it's Rob Andrew. Oh, great.
No. Eddie loves to come, won't he? Eddie loves his cricket.
So I thought you were referring to Alistair Hignall there. I thought you were building
up
to
Bingham. No, Higgy is a lovely man. Yeah.
Eddie does talk more about cricket than rugby.
Yeah, exactly. So I want to get Eddie along and put him straight on a few things as regards selection for the World Cup and stuff. So
keep you entertained.
Yeah, it'd be good fun, wouldn't he, Eddie?
He'd get his selection all wrong, though.
You made me feel bad now.
He'd eat Christmas pudding before his turkey and everyone playing in the wrong positions.
You made me feel bad, because Higgy is a lovely chap. Yeah,
Higgy's in.
Who else can we think of who's really into cricket and rugby? Elliot Daly is supposed to be a decent cricketer, isn't he?
Yes,
and I could give him some good tips on fullback.
Elliot Daly's good at anything he does, apart from playing fullback. Unfortunately.
Yeah, but that's what I used to play fullback. I reckon I could give him some tips over Christmas lunch. So I might invite him as well. And Higgy could give him some tips on fullback play as well. So we'll have Eddie Jones, Alistair Hignall, and Elliot Daly. That sounds like a good laugh, doesn't it?
I'm not sure if Elliot Daly's the good laugh part of it, but I think that's true. So really good start. Jonesy.
Well, I have to disinvite someone now because I've got to make room for J-Mo come over to check I'm training. So I was going to invite God, but now J-Mo's coming, so I'm going to have to knock
God,
him back.
God, Gareth Edwards, you mean?
No, Gareth would be a tremendous one. I'd invite Tide Furlong because I want to tell him... If we got enough food in the house, how great he is for rugby, in that he reminds everyone that you don't have to hit 56 rucks and make 28 tackles. It's nothing to do with statistics. It's physical domination of the opposition. And B, he'd go down a storm in the Pickwick Arms in Eatonwick, because no doubt, I think he'd have a few. No doubt about it. I'd also like to have a doorman to keep Eddie Jones out, should he decide to come over.
He's coming to mine anyway, Eddie. Don't worry about him.
I'd also love there to be a man called Mark Bingham. Mark Bingham is a rugby player in California. And a couple of weeks ago, I went to Ground Zero, to the memorial. And the only person I'd heard of who died in the attacks was Mark Bingham, because he was a rugby man. He was a great man, and he was one of the people on United 93... who, with another rugby guy, stormed the cockpit to try and get in. And this is a true story, and it may put shivers down my spine, but the whole of the area of the memorial is huge. And I was just put my hand on the memorial to see the carved-out names. And I put my hand straight on Mark Bingham's name, the only person I knew.
That's spooky, isn't it?
And it was spooky, and it was lovely. And I'm going to write to... his family, if I can find them, just to say that I was with your son in spirit. And so I'd like Mark to be there in spirit with myself and Tide Furlong, and obviously my family as well.
Thank you, Steve, for that. Yeah. My contribution is not quite as sane as that. I would just say I would like to have Reese Webb round for my Christmas dinner, because unfortunately we're not going to be seeing much of him later on in the year. Well, we would like to.
Scotty, I'm going to say this now. Reece Webb will play in the World Cup.
Ah, I hope we get to that. Brilliant, J-Mo.
He will play in the World Cup.
The man who knows what's going on in Wales.
I'll put money on it.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
How can that be?
It's going to happen.
It'll change the law.
Do something. I reckon he'll be on loan to the Dragons or something at the time.
Okay.
Do you not actually think that he might come back from Toulon after 1 year? I mean, it's it's not going well.
All I'm saying is that, covered Wales in the autumn, Reece Webb was seen in the Wales camp. That's all I'm saying.
Whoa.
anyway, sorry.
Tune into the Rat Christmas special and you get a world exclusive.
We're more into analysis and scoops on this show, but carry on. It's all right.
Okay, so we're now going to move on to
Scoop James.
We're now going to move on to our Christmas quiz, and we start off with Eddie Jones quotes corner.
Right.
So, in a corporate speaking event in Japan, Eddie Jones described one of England's Six Nations rivals as scummy and another as a little shit place.
Mm.
Which are those two places, and where did they finish on the Six Nations? We don't have buzzers, so people just dive in.
Well, Ireland and Wales. I can't remember which way round it was.
Which? The second one was Wales.
The scum was Ireland, and the second one was Wales.
Yeah, and Ireland finished first, and Wales finished second, and Eddie Jones's team finished
fifth.
Exactly. Fifth. Defeat by Scotland sent England spiralling downwards. It's after that game that Jones made two slightly weird decisions. One was to spend the next day in the company of a famous Scotsman, which was...
Alex Ferguson,
exactly. And two, to travel to Manchester to see him, to travel there on National Rail. Now, on arrival at Manchester Piccadilly, four Scottish morons decided to verbally abuse him, a really brave piece of work for which they were later charged and fined collectively 480 quid. They used F words and C words, but in between they also attempted to belittle the England coach by calling him A, an Aussie, B, a baldy, or C, not very good at selecting a back row.
Which, all three.
Which are the above?
Well, that's difficult because he is a balding Aussie who's not very good at picking a back row. So it could have been anywhere. But the point is that he
that
didn't,
was my point.
They didn't necessarily call him all that.
No, well, being follically challenged myself, I'm going to go for that one.
Okay, Mark, you're absolutely on the money. But on the subject of hair, right. Jones himself got involved in a public verbal spat too with Bruce Craig, the owner of Bath, in which Jones sought to demean Craig by criticising his Barnett.
Yes.
Whose hairstyle did Jones compare Bruce Craig's to? Yeah.
Donald Trump.
Very good. Very good. He said...
I missed that one.
He said Bruce Craig is the Donald Trump of rugby and he has the same hairstyle.
He's got a desperate haircut on Barnett, didn't he? Terrible Donald Trump.
Are you liking my quiz?
Lovely.
Yeah, it's very good. Good.
Sorry, I just showed a bit of insecurity there.
You spent a lot of time. I worked on this.
On the subject of Eddie Jones and selection, seven names here. Which of the following didn't make it into a single England squad all year? Ollie Lawrence, Johnny Hill, Joel Kapoku, Dave Atwood, Piers Francis, Jack Willis and Don Armand. One of those didn't make it into a single squad. Right, six of them did.
Well,
Don Armand.
If you read the Sunday Times, Dave Atwood is never anywhere near the squad. And the correspondent there gets very irate about it.
That's why it's in the quiz.
Well, Dave Atwood's never been in the squad, is he?
You're right, absolutely.
Okay, after your quiz. This thing about picking these little kids in the team, thinking they might be good, it's rebounded on almost everyone. Marcus Smith, for one, who's not nearly as good a player now as he was when he came into that squad. All that.
What about Tom Curry's work for him?
I don't think so.
Was he an apprentice? Was he an apprentice?
No, but he was picked for the Argentina tour when he was 19. Right. There's more of those that have been successful.
What, more than have been unsuccessful?
Well, let's not go there. this is Christmas Eve, for goodness sake.
Sorry.
Which of the aforementioned seven got on an England team sheet but didn't get a cap? Has never been capped. He got on an England team sheet. In Cape Town, this was.
Johnny Hill, yeah.
Yeah, he's injured at the moment, isn't he? Yeah, yeah, okay.
Okay, for you, Jonesy. Yes. Piers Francis and Don Armand, who played more minutes for England this year and why?
Well, I don't know why Piers Francis played for England.
That's the sort of rhetorical nature of the question.
Rhetorical question.
Well, because...
We do know why he played. Because he was brought over specifically to play for England.
Yeah, he was.
And that's
the answer. That is an answer, of sorts. Yeah. And it works. Yeah. Armand played 13 minutes. Mm. Piers Francis got 10 more.
Right, okay.
And
really?
Yes. And as we say, very a hard question to answer why. I have a list of other similarly tricky questions here. You don't have to answer them if you don't think you can get the answer. But in 2018, did we get any closer to deciding who is the England number 15?
Yes.
And it is.
That was a convincing. And it is.
Because I think some people have ruled themselves out. Therefore, by definition, you're getting closer.
Well, who is it then?
I doubt, given the autumn, I don't think they'll pick Elliot Daly at
all. Yeah, I think you're right. I just don't think you can now.
I think that was a fair run, four games. Yeah. And I'm not
sure. Actually, it was seven games because he played the three in South Africa as well.
I was actually a massive advocate of Daly being fullback.
I was as well.
So, therefore, by definition, by ruling out a contender, you must be closer.
Okay.
I reckon he'll go with Daly, stick with Daly, I think.
Well, it's his belligerence that will make him do that. Anthony Watson, he'll try again. I could understand why
Watson's
Alex Goode was...
Is Watson fit for the Six Nations?
Not for the start, I don't think so.
That's why I think he'll stick with Daly.
Okay, who had a worse 2018? The Wallabies, the Dragons, or TMOs?
Good question. Oh, dear.
There's no way you can split those three.
You can't. It's absolutely dead heat.
I think you can.
The TMOs changed the result of two massive international matches.
Yeah. Two?
Yeah.
I know, I think if you went through them...
Well, 12.
The Dragons lost mostly. The Leinster thirds by 50 points 2 weeks ago. You cannot get any worse than that.
Hang on, what's the other one?
Wallabies.
Australia.
Ooh.
I think the Dragons and TMO, they're really neck and neck. Mark stroking his chin.
I am, yeah. I think it's the Dragons. When you looked at who they signed over the summer...
Hibbard, Moriarty.
And, the number of people in their squad who've played for the national team, it's really disappointing. I think they've had a really, really, very, very, very poor 2018.
They beat Edinburgh the other day. I mean, I think there were a few players missing. They did beat Edinburgh.
So,
TMOs are...
Them.
No.
Everyone always picks out any kind of officiating
All right, Slotty, do you have the answer there? Don't let Tom touch
the answer.
These questions are really good. If you're feeling insecure, these are really good.
It's like a Christmas novice, isn't it? A, B, or C, mostly A's.
I just want everyone to be happy at Christmas.
Carry on, I want more.
Hang on. The Aussie have had an utterly tragic season, but nothing like as tragic as the Dragons. When a referee...
Owen Farrell
smashing someone 2 yards from the line, the bloke's in charge of the ball, and all the guy had to do was fall over to touchdown. Not only does he not give a penalty try and the red or yellow card, it doesn't even give a penalty.
But he then blamed the ball carrier for dipping his shoulder.
Which you've been told to do in every junior training.
How else are you supposed to run into contact?
But if I'm being really picky, that wasn't a TMO. That was the referee.
That was the ref.
It's not a question.
But the TMO should have said you need to look at this.
Referee called it. The referee called it and said no, I didn't give it because the bloke dipped his shoulder, which is just a bit bizarre.
Okay, that's one of the worst decisions I've ever seen.
Thanks for that.
Right. One of the worst decisions I've ever seen.
But back to Don Armand. What does Don stand for?
Oh, that's a great question. No idea.
No idea.
Hang on.
He's Zimbabwean, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Zimbo originally. Yeah.
Is it Donet?
Not Donatello, was it?
Let's think about this.
4 months.
No, I like that.
Ninja Turtles.
Oh, I thought it was a pizza flavour.
Indeed. Well, something like that.
Is there something in front of Don?
There's nothing in front of him.
A Renaissance painter.
I'll tell you what's behind him. His second name is a recently retired Wasps wing who now plays NFL.
Wade.
Yeah. His name is Donovan Wade Armand.
Donovan?
Yeah. What? Yeah. Hurdy-gurdy, man. Mellow yellow, all that.
Brilliant question.
Thanks.
Donovan was a bit fey for me. And, I thought he might have been. It's all right. No, he's all right.
On the subject... This is my last question, actually.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The nation weeps.
On the subject of Christmas, Owen Farrell, we know, likes to give his father barbecue or barbecue-related gifts for Christmas.
Does he?
Yeah.
Well, Owen knows that.
According to Benno Urbano, who is Maro Itoje's cousin, what might Maro give people for Christmas? I should have done a short list of three here, but it's...
We need some short clues.
All right. Headphones.
Headphones? No.
What has he said this in an interview? We're supposed to know this. You know it, and us three don't.
Yeah, it's just preposterous. Yeah, so lovely. But headphones, he said, was one of the options.
Okay.
Yeah, well done.
I'll retire.
All right, I'll just tell you the answer.
Remember that, dude?
He's always wearing
it. Give us a clue.
It's something that Maro appears in himself.
Right. Super Mario? Super Mario?
Super Mario Kart, what it was called.
No, according to Benno Urbano...
Give us some more clues.
Just tell it.
According to Benno Urbano, what Maro might give people for Christmas is a signed picture of himself. Sorry, we just killed him with that, didn't
we? Steve used to do that when he was tapping the Glamorgan.
All the time.
This is the Ruck Christmas special. We'll be back in a minute.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host Luke Jones for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on The Times Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Ruck. Now, 2 weeks ago, I had the pleasure of going to the first time to the U Arena in Paris, which is no longer called the U Arena. It's now called the Paris La Défense Arena, as you would know if you'd be listening to this podcast 2 weeks ago. So I was so taken with it that I just... this isn't a Christmas subject at all, but I think we can still do it quickly. I asked my guests to discuss their favourite venue to watch rugby. J-Mo, on to you, mate.
King's Home, Gloucester. Forest of Dean, boy. It's a brilliant place to watch rugby. In the shed. That's where the soul of rugby lives. End of story.
I choose the Coogee Oval, where Randwick played.
Well done.
Is just, if you've never been, you know, when club rugby, which I love, you know, not a huge arena, on the coastline, you know, the weather's great. It's just loads of, you know, cold
beer.
Have
you played there?
No, I've watched there and had a few beers with a few people there, Bob Dwyer and a few other people. I just thought, yeah, this is not half bad. Yeah, great, great little ground and great place to watch the game.
Very good. Jonesy?
Sorry, what's the name of that place in Brisbane?
Big He's going to say somewhere, he can't even remember the name of it.
Well, look, I absolutely love stadiums. I'm a student of rugby stadiums. They're fantastic. I think the Parisian rugby stadium, which was abandoned, would have been the most astonishing rugby thing you've ever seen in your life. But having said that, I still look around the Millennium Stadium and think this is fantastic because everything feels so close, whereas at Twickenham you're hundreds of miles away. I love the Millennium. I don't like the idea that everyone in there now is eventing rather than watching rugby.
It's called the Principality.
On the suds. And it's also called the Principality, but apart from those six things.
Do people in Wales actually call it a Principality? Is that caught on yet?
Not really, but I've just been pedantic.
We love a pedant.
Sorry.
And I also love the Storsfield at Risker. It's on the side of the River Ebbw. Side of the River Ebbw. I went there recently with Ryan Jones to look around. It is exactly the same as it was 25 years ago, but there's still a bloke with a huge pole who, because the river's so close, he's got to whip over with a pole and get the balls. And what he does is he keeps an eye open for balls coming down the river. So they've got like all the clubs up the river who haven't got this contraption, they fish their balls out. So they got like, you know, 16 club balls, which they, of course, they send back.
Yeah. Have you played there?
Many years.
Have you played there, Mark?
I'm afraid I have, yeah.
Have you played there, Steve?
No. I played there when I was still in school for the first team against a bloke called Mike Blackwood. And what I was told was, if you hit him in the first line, he'll never come back. So I hit him, and sadly he did come back.
For 79 minutes.
Before we go on, I've got to mention Regent's Home Lydney, which is my home ground, because I'm seeing my mates from Lydney over Christmas. And if I don't mention it...
They get an honourable mention in dispatches.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's my home ground, where I learned everything I know about rugby.
Where you scored 31 tries.
Well, is that right?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Good research.
That's scary, though.
What?
You've looked on Wikipedia.
What else do you want to know? Yeah.
Is that true?
It is, because it was part of your intro, but I changed it.
31 tries from fullback.
I don't think you scored them all there, though, so I'm probably wrong. Unless you never scored a try away from home.
I'm well impressed. Okay.
That's a bit spooky. Mine is the Richardson Evans Memorial Ground, which I suspect probably all of you have been, but you wouldn't know it's called that. If you drive down the A3, and just after you've gone past Richmond Park on your left...
Yeah, it's where Harkins training ground was there for
it's
a while.
It's miles and miles of playing fields, and it's pretty damn ugly. But for 5 days of the year, it becomes transformed into the Roslyn Park Sevens. And I find that I've been to the Sevens a few times now through my boys to watch them. And I find that one of the most wonderful sporting occasions, because you get kids from the age of 13 to 18, boys and girls, playing Sevens. And you see brilliant players, you see average players, you see desperate parents, you see happy people, you just see sporting life unfolding in front of your eyes, and I just find it wonderful. So that's Richardson Evans Memorial Playing Fields. So there we go. The final item of our Christmas event is our Christmas wish, our Christmas gift for the game of rugby. Have we all come with something nicely packaged and wrapped up to discuss? Jonesy, would you like to go first?
I've got two wishes. First of all, that one union anywhere in the world, just one to start, calls off one international match. The numbers have become ludicrous, and the effect on morale and the whole thing can now no longer be explained away by the fact that, oh, we need the money. It's gone too serious for that. Internationals are a blizzard and they're crazy. Secondly, I hope that anyone listening and all those who love those who are listening and all those in contact with those who are listening will go and actually, if they still can, go and play rugby on a Saturday afternoon for their club. For the seconds, thirds, fourth, fifth or sixth. Because playing-wise, the number of players out there across the game is really going down by a lot. And I hope that referees, officials and players will go back out there and give it a go because there's nothing like it.
Very good. Mark Evans.
I'd like to buy the game a time machine. and take the game in Europe back to 1995 and have another go.
Oh, yes. Sorry, producer, this is now going to be a very, very long podcast. We're going to discuss what rugby should have
and
done.
Hopefully, that's not to be overly critical. I hate these people who say, oh, everything's wrong with the game, because it's clearly not. But there are certain things that we've sort of locked into the sport in this part of the world that are going to be the devil's own job to unlock. And Steve's just identified one of a number of them. And so I'd like to go back to 1995 in the time machine and actually have another go on the based on the premise or the mission or the vision or whatever you want to call it, that let's try and make the game bigger in terms of its reach and its participation and the audience. And I think we might, with the benefit of hindsight, of course, I think we might all do a better job of it next time.
What was the key? What's the one key first step?
I'll come back. Steve.
This is going to be my answer. Yeah, no. Okay. Anglo-Welsh League.
All podcasts are now connected.
As we were talking about 2 weeks ago, yeah, that is my Christmas wish. It's never going to happen, but I'd like an Anglo-Welsh League. Something more realistic, maybe, as I'm covering Wales.
What, more realistic than the time machine to go back to 95? Yeah. Thanks for that.
It's not, is that Ellis Jenkins is fit for the World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Because he was a bit wishful.
He was brilliant, wasn't he, against South Africa? And I think if he could get fit for the World Cup,
do you think he's borderline, isn't he? Or do you think he's not unlikely?
He's probably struggling, but it would be great if he's there because I think he'd be a star.
My Christmas wish, which is also related to what could be or how it should be, is I would just love World Rugby to have another go at eligibility before the Japan World Cup and have a look at how you could bring Islanders back into their teams. So yeah. Someone like Rocco Degouni, who's played like half a game for England and has now lost his entire international career on the back of that. I think for a second tier in inverted commas nation, they should be allowed a second chance.
How? I couldn't agree more.
You got an idea how?
Yes, I think it's dead easy. Actually, I know Steve was saying, well, choose one. Well, all right, I'm not sure it would be. That would be one of the ones. You could... That is relatively straightforward.
It's doable, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes.
I think you've got to have a cut-off. Say, if you've had 40 caps for New Zealand, then you probably can't. But if you've had less than 15, and you should probably have 18 months gap in between or something, then go back again.
It's relatively straightforward. You keep the grandparent rule, which I think most people say, you know, fair enough. Your grandparent or your parents were born in the country, you are eligible, and then you put a clause in for the, like you said, a number of appearances, and if those are or length since you last played. Because frankly, in a world which there is massive migration, there are huge global flows of people, and we want to grow the game and get the standards up. I just don't buy this stuff. Oh, they're not properly New Zealand, or they're not properly English. They're not properly rubbish, right? If they're qualified, they're qualified. Yeah. And to stop this locking of people whereby the French take Fijian kids at 17-year-old and play them for a certain, and then they can't play for Fiji, and they get two caps for France, and we never see them on the world stage again, that's just daft.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay. So at the end of 2018, oh no, we're coming back for New Year's Eve, aren't we?
Oh no,
Steve, we are. We've committed to that.
Champagne all.
But for the end of our Christmas edition, we've managed to agree on something, which is rare and splendid.
Well said, Mark.
Thank you, Steve, Mark, and Steve. It's been great fun. Happy Christmas to everyone who listens. Please come back again New Year's Eve and next year. There's a lot of ruck yet to come. Happy Christmas.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.